This thing, so I'm trusting that Nick, that Chris will put it in the right place. I was speaking at a conference a few years ago, and I was giving a talk on something or other. I'm afraid I've forgotten what it was now, and I'm sure everyone listening has also forgotten. But I remember the end when I opened it up for questions. It was a group of people, probably half as much as this again, and there they were, all were listening and ready to ask questions. And someone stood up round about where you are there, and he asked this question: why are you still sending white middle class people to Africa? I'm not sure it was quite in line with the thing I'd been talking about, but that was the question. I wonder what you would have said in my position. I've got two answers, and they're the same today as they were then. The first is that the churches overseas are still asking us to send people. They are still saying, please, will you come over and help us? And the second answer is that God seems to be still laying on people's hearts the desire to go. God is still saying to people today, please, will you go? And I think I'd just say one third thing from this morning. You will have noticed that it's not only white people that God is calling to go. But I've been in mission, doing mission work really for the last, I don't know, 20, 22 years. And I'm a bit ashamed to have to say that I've learnt something recently that I think I probably should have known rather a long time ago. And that is that in the old days, we used to send people to plant churches. And that's right, isn't it? That's correct. We go and we plant churches. But I've realized that really, and there's a lot of teaching on this now, that actually what we should be doing is going and planting missions. Because unless that group of people that plant as a church are prepared to go out and reach out to the communities that they're in and prepared to be missionaries, then the churches will die. That's why what we've started here in this church now, the new discipleship groups, are so important, because we shouldn't be just navel-gazing, looking inward. We do need to be reaching out to the community around us, or else our church will die. I spent 17 years or so interviewing people who wanted to go, who believed God had called them to go, and what a privilege that was. But what kind of thing was I looking for? What kind of people was I and were we as a team looking for? Well, we were looking for lots of things, but the main three were a living Christian faith, obviously, a stable emotional personality, and the right attitude. As I say, there were other things, but that right attitude was the thing that we were trying to discern through the interview process. So people who are prepared to go to learn and to be humble and to give rather than to perhaps be the big white chief. I had an example of this from reading this book, which is Val Griffiths, who worked with her husband in Japan for a long time. He led OMF, the Overseas Missionary Fellowship. And she's written this book on the early missionaries in China. And it's just a fascinating read if you have the time and are interested. But one of the things she says in this book, you might find a bit controversial. You can tackle me with it afterwards if you like. But one of the things she says is, as you know, the missionaries had to leave China in the mid-1900s, because of the Boxer Rebellion, they were being killed, some were murdered, and they had to flee for their lives. And there was a big worry at the time, what will happen to the church in China when all the missionaries have to leave? What will happen to them? We've had to leave too early. Well, you will know what happened. The church thrived and continues to thrive today. But one of the things that Val points out is that the places back then where the churches thrived were the ones where there were only female missionaries. Why is that? Because where there were male missionaries, they tended to lead the churches. And where there were only female missionaries, in those days they weren't allowed to lead. And therefore all they could do was encourage the local leadership. So that when all of them had to leave, it was the churches where there had been women who had encouraged leadership that survived, and the other churches struggled. We actually have amongst us in this service, we didn't have it in the first service, a couple who are real live missionaries, and they're sitting over there, John and Abby Hunt. Would you just stand up so people can see who you are? They are currently serving in Nigeria. Well, not currently because they're here in the UK, but they're in Nigeria normal. They're just here for their home assignment. And John shared something with me a little while ago. I hope you don't mind me. And if I get it wrong, correct me afterwards. And that is that you've recently been asked to take on a leadership role in the college where you are working. But John has refused to do that and has taken quite a bit of flack for doing that. But that's correct, isn't it? He said, I will help you, but I won't do it myself. That is the right attitude, I believe. There's another little story from this book, which is, again, an excellent book on mission. It's a tiddly bit Anglican, but that's okay. It's got some good stuff in it. And he talks about the Pacific Islands, where the missionaries went way back and again had to leave, and the churches that survived and the churches that died. Which were the ones that survived? It was the ones where the missionaries had translated the Bible into the people's own language. They were the churches that survived and thrived. And therefore, I'm really pleased that Wycliffe is here today. Take time to go and look at that, the plan at the back of all the languages in the world still today that don't have their own scriptures. We are still needed today to go. I could show you pictures of hospitals in Africa and elsewhere with machinery that doesn't function and operating tables so worn that they look as though they were fit for the scrap merchants. I could show you pictures of schools with no tables and no chairs. I could show you pictures of people dying of AIDS, needing someone to come and at least pray with them to bring them comfort. The place that I guess has been most on my heart at the moment, it has changed over the years, but at the moment the place most on my heart is Afghanistan. People used to come into my office and they would say, I believe God has called me to go. And I'll go anywhere, you know, I'll give of myself and go anywhere. And I'd say, well, we're really looking for people to go to Afghanistan. Anywhere but Afghanistan, they would say. Don't believe everything that you see on the television. Afghanistan needs women to help other women with business skills because for so long they weren't allowed to go to school. They need help to learn to read, to learn to count, to learn to make money again. There is no Afghan church at the moment, but there are Afghan people who have come to faith. How much they need us to come and stand alongside them. Thank God there are people who are prepared to go. I've had people say to me, and I've heard it said from the front in different places, that we shouldn't go to change people's culture. I don't know if you've heard anybody. Has anybody heard that said? We can go and share the gospel, and that's right, that's what we should be doing, but you mustn't try and change the culture. If you could turn the... There's many other stories that I could give you. Let me just tell you two more. Anne Marie Wilson, who has started her own mission called 28 Too Many. She believes God has called her to work with women who have suffered female genital mutilation, FGM. There are still 28 countries in the world that practice this. Her charity is called 28 Too Many. How about joining with her, praying with her, helping her to change some cultures? And then the Wilsons are a BMS couple who have been in northeast Brazil for, I don't know, about 20 years now. Now, why on earth would people go to Brazil? It's a first world country now, isn't it? It's developed. It's going fine. Why does it need missionaries? Well, the Wilsons went to the northeast, a place called Trapiá, where they have drought, I think it's something like 9 years out of 10. And they went there to live, and they went as agriculturalists to try and help people to grow things in such an environment. But while they were there, the church has grown up around them and is now thriving there. But one of the things that Devine noticed was that week by week, at the end of the garden along the road, processions would go by virtually every week with little white coffins. Because at that time, around 8 out of 10 of the children died. 8 out of 10. Can you imagine that? And Devine set about trying to find out why, what was causing this, what was the reason for this. And she discovered that the women had been told that it was better not to breastfeed, but to use the powdered milk and to mix it with water. Unfortunately, the water isn't clean, and the babies died. So Devine had her 4 children there in Trappier, and she breastfed her own children. And she taught the women that she came across to do so. And the message spread out. And she said, now we very rarely ever see the little white coffins. Praise God, there are still people who are prepared to go and stay and live there and change the culture within which they're living. God sent Abraham to a new place. We learned that in our discipleship group this week. And he went. And God calls us still to go today. God sent Moses to go back to Egypt to bring his people out of slavery. God still sends us today to release people from slavery. God sent Elijah to corrupt leaders and to challenge corrupt practices and the corrupt religious priests. He still calls us today. Are we prepared to go? God called Amos to go to a neighbouring country to call them back to serve God, and so he calls us. Jesus himself left his Father's throne in glory and came down here to this world, a world that was not his own, in order to save us. So he sends us out today to go to all nations, as Matthew 28 has it, to baptizing them, making disciples, teaching them to obey all that he has taught us. So whether it's our own communities or to another part of the world, we do need to hear the missionary imperative. I want to finish just by telling you just a little thing that happened to me just this week. I was helping a friend last week clear out their house, and up in the one of the study rooms there was one of these boxes, and it said garden. So I had a look in it, and there was also those little packets of seeds in there, and one of them was 2002, and another one was 2005, and it was Cosmos seed. So I thought, well, I'm not going to lose anything, am I? So I brought it home, and on the Monday I put it in some compost and covered it with cling film, watered, put it by the radiator. 3 days later, this cosmos had come up. It was 2 centimetres high. It was as though these seeds had said, thank God, now at last we can grow and we can start to do something. Let me out of here. Let me get going. Why do I tell you that? Just as we plant seeds and water them and put cling film on them and put them by the radiator, but it's God who oversees the growing process. We are called to go out into our world, to spread the good news, to plant the seeds. Let's leave the rest up to him.